there's some entity framework code that can just be really hard to unit test. Sometimes we just need a SQL Server instance backing it to do more of an integration test. Let's mash on that.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. In today's episode, we're going to take a look at integration testing using Entity Framework.
All right. So I have just a very simple example here of, I called it a monster context, and it's just a database DB context here that has a list of monsters in it. Monster has a unique ID, a name, a color, and whether or not it is scary, a scary monster. Pretty straightforward, and what I have here is a query. So this is just a simple little query object. When I execute it, queries against that context and returns the list of scary monsters. But I've done this a little differently just to illustrate the purpose here of doing an integration test, in that instead of doing, you know, just a where using link here, I'm doing a dot from SQL where I actually specify some parameterized SQL that gets executed. So I'm saying where is scary equals true. So Entity Framework still executes this just fine, but it's going to need a relational store now. This can't execute against something like an in-memory database or the in-memory data store, which isn't a relational store, because it actually has to understand SQL. Really simple example. This isn't really how we would write this query, but this often comes up. In my work projects, often there's, you know, some legacy store procedure that I need to call that's really quite complex. I still want to be able to call that through Entity Framework so that it maps back onto my entities. And we can do that using from SQL. It's really easy to do, but we can't unit test it anymore using something like an in-memory data store. So what I've done is set up a test project here with a simple integration test just to illustrate how we would do this. And in the constructor is where we actually go and create the DB context with a database back in it. Now, in creating a DB context outside the context of our ASP.NET application where we have dependency injection and it just kind of wires it up for us. In this case, there's a little bit more work, so we have to create a service collection, add any entity framework with SQL Server to that collection, and then specify our options for the DB context builder, telling it which database to connect to. So there's a bit of cruft here. If you're doing this often, you could just create a static method somewhere that gave you all of this information. You could just tell it, you know, create an instance for me. In this case, I've just done it all in line so that you can kind of read through it and see how it works. But what I've done with the builder here is I've said use SQL Server, and instead of using, like our application would, the connection string from app settings, what I'm doing is specifying it here. So I'm saying use local DB. So that's my local DB instance. And then the database name, I tell it monsters.db, and then I just append a new GUID to that, just so that it's unique for this test. And then the rest of the settings that are required. So using a trusted connection, and as is the case with all Entity Framework core connections, you need to have multiple active record sets, or MARs, set to true. So we do that, and then create a new context, passing in those options that we just created from the builder. So that's creating that new context, connecting to that database. And then this is the piece here where the magic happens and it gets created. We do context.database.migrate. So this context has migrations enabled, where I only have one migration because it's just the one that initially creates it, but that's all the code that will go and actually create the tables in my database. Now the default with migrate is it just appends any migrations to the context, any pending migrations to the context, and it will create the database if it doesn't exist. Now it won't exist because we've appended a new GUID to that database name, so it won't exist because it's unique for this test. Now moving into the test, that's in the constructor here, so that's part of my setup code for the test. Happens before the test runs. Here I'm just adding some test data to the database. So I'm adding four monsters here. We have Dave, Simon, and James with the appropriate colors, and those monsters are not scary.
So I do have to point something out here. I noticed that you have Simon as not scary, but have you ever seen him after he didn't get to eat ice cream cake with the other monsters?
That is indeed scary. And I'm sure the other monsters will suffer for that greatly at some point in the future. Is there a is vengeful flag we could add to this?
We would need to.
It's a version 2 feature, most certainly. So we only have one monster here, the imposter monster, who is in fact scary. And then we set up we actually execute the query. So I save the changes there, so it actually writes that data into my new database. And we execute the query and verify the results. At this point, it's just, you know, I expect that there's one there. And then I check that monster and make sure that it is actually the monster that we expect it to be. So check in the properties that came back, individual properties. And then at the end, we have a dispose. So this class I made marked as iDisposable. And in the dispose is kind of where you do your teardown logic for XUnit. So I've said context.database.insureDeleted. So that will delete the database, just wipe it out, so that we don't have a bunch of these kind of accumulating over time every time we run it. And this runs just like any other unit test, except that it's going to take a little longer now because the setup doesn't come for free. We have to create the database, run the migrations, add all those tables, set up the data. But it's not too bad, and there are things that you could do to speed this up. If you had a large suite of tests that were doing integration tests, you could maybe start to reuse databases and not create individual ones per test. This is just the safest way. You know that test should always succeed because it's never going to interfere with another test. It has its own unique database.
You could run these in parallel too, right? Like you could build multiple databases at once.
Yeah, that's right. So the default with XUnit is that the tests run in parallel, right? Which is...
Yeah, kind of. So the default is that all of the tests inside of a test grouping, which a class is by default, those will run in series, but they'll run in a random series. But if you have tests in like different classes, then those will run in parallel.
Right. So if we had tests in multiple classes and they were trying to point to the same database instance, that's where you might start to run into collisions.
Right.
And that's why I did the unique name there.
Yeah.
But you can see it succeeded. It took about 11 seconds to run, which for a unit test is pretty long, but I guess for an integration test, it's not so bad. Examples of where this might come up, other than just running an individual query like this, or a raw SQL query like this, is if you're using just SQL Server specific features in NAD framework, in NAD framework.SQL Server, like the spatial types, can't remember if those are actually in there yet, but let's assume that they are. If you're using those special spatial types, that it's a SQL Server specific thing, that's only going to work with a SQL Server database. So you need to spin one up. That's the only way you can test it. And that's about it. We have a blog post on this, and this code is all up in a GitHub repo, so we'll make sure to link to that in the notes.
You know, another thing that we could look at too is demonstrating how to isolate these tests so that they can be run as a command as part of, you know, a build step or whatever, external to or after your unit tests run. After your unit tests are successful, run the integration tests after that, because your unit tests are gonna, you know, if those start failing, there's no point in running your integration tests at that point almost. So, I mean, there's still value there, but minimally you could split those out and have them run separately, or give the build server the ability to run the integration tests where additional resources are required in a specific environment.
Yeah, so you might put these in their own project. You might do the integration tests as their own test project, or you might just do, I believe there's a way to do groupings in XUnit. Most unit test frameworks have that. So you might group it into a test suite. So these are your integration test suites, and then the others are part of your unit test suite, and you just run your unit test suite first, and then run your integration test suite. So yeah, we might do some samples like that in the future, just to go through that.
One day we should watch all of our videos and come up with a list of all the things we've promised to look at and haven't.
You know, a really good thing to do, since we're at the end of this, I'll just remind everybody, make sure you like, comment, and share. Thanks again for watching. If you want to see stuff like integration tests isolated and running separately, then let us know in the comments. And anybody who comments down below here on the video, of course, your name will go into... there's no name going into anything. If we use your comment on the air, if we answer your question on the air, then we're going to send you a laptop enhancing ASP.NET Monsters sticker.
I don't have one around here. But they're fabulous.
Okay, well, thanks everyone. It's time for me to get going, but I will talk to you soon.
Where is he going?
I don't know, that James guy.
It's always he's coming somewhere. Back home through the tunnels. His house. Bye, James.